they teach. I was reading just this week an article by Dallas Willard. Dallas Willard is gone now, but he was a Christian writer, lived and taught out in California, was a university professor. And he made a distinction between those people who call themselves Christians and a biblical Christian. There is a difference between those, because a biblical Christian is someone whose life is led by the Lord and what he has instructed and counseled us and given to us in his word. And so if that is the source from which your life is led under the direction and power and voice of the Holy Spirit, then you rightly can call yourself a Christian. Otherwise, it's just a title. Nonetheless. My wife and I don't know if I shared this part of our story with you yet or not, but when we met in college, we were actually dating some other people at that particular time. But we kind of got connected through snail mail. Any of you remember snail mail, right? There was no email in those days. And so we kind of just started writing back and forth, because she lived in the States and I lived in Canada. And then we kind of advanced that to telephone calls. Man, I was broke. We didn't have a long distance plan. And then it kind of unfolded from there. But we actually only got to be together before we got married a handful of times. I came down to see her. She came up actually to Canada the first time during American Thanksgiving. Then I went down and spent Christmas, the following Christmas, with her. And then, anyway, we didn't have a lot of time to get to know each other, to make a long story short. So, we kind of jumped in and got married and hardly knew each other. I don't recommend that, young people. Go ahead and date for a while, okay? It's going to be a little easier on you if you do that. So anyway, we obviously had to learn about each other. As much as there are similarities between our countries, the U.S. and Canada, there's significant differences, and let alone being men and women, right? The whole gender thing. So one of the things that my wife had to learn about me was my love for sports. I kind of had part of my television routine was watching the sports report. Now, I don't think there was Sportsnet back then, but I think TSN was around. I would particularly like to tune in to the sports report. And inevitably, as soon as the sports report came on, my wife would come in and start a conversation. Anybody relate? Any of you just afraid to raise your hand? All right. So I'm trying to be a good husband, and I'm looking at my wife, and I'm going, and my eyes are going to the TV, right? Because I'm not really listening very well to what she had to say. And she kind of kept this up, and finally I had the courage to say, "Sweetie, could you just wait till the sports report is over?" "Fine." Right? And off she would go. But inevitably she would backslide and do it again some other time. And so it was it got to be kind of an ongoing joke. Well, 30 years later, we've both kind of matured. I still like to watch the sports report, but she's pretty gracious about that. Although, and I told, by the way, she's not here today, but I told her what I was going to say. So, okay, there's no secrets here. But now she has, I might be watching the sports report, or I might just be watching the news. She has a new tactic. She doesn't just come in and start a conversation. She stands between me and the TV. So when I told her about this, she laughed about that, so she was okay with it. But I share that by way of illustration just to remind us that it's no secret that when you enter into a relationship with someone, whether it's a casual relationship or whether it's a more covenant relationship like marriage, communication is always a part of those relationships. And a healthy relationship doesn't just talk about themselves. There's also this part that you want to listen to what other people have to say. In fact, when I was reading about the article of Dallas Willard, He said this, most people don't listen to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. And how true is that? You know, how many of us, when we're engaged in a conversation and somebody's talking to us and we're already thinking about what we're going to say back to them without really tuning in to what it is they're trying to say to us? So in communication, there's give and take. We want to share some things. We have things that we want to talk about. But in a healthy relationship, you also want to be a good listener. And that is true also in our relationship with the Lord as well. So what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about that a little bit, and I want to look at some familiar words from the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 13. If you want to turn in your Bibles today, and this is great that we are actually going to open our Bibles because we don't have the scriptures up on the screen. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's okay. This is your opportunity to listen and be attentive to what you hear from the scriptures. What I'm going to do, actually, for the rest of January, Lord willing, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a series of messages between now and Easter just called Walk With Me. We're just going to spend some time in the Gospels with the life of Jesus. We're just going to walk with Jesus, listen to some things he said, observe some things that he did. In fact, for the month of January, we're going to look at three of his parables. We're going to listen and ponder some stories that Jesus shared. And then in February, we're going to observe his love. We're going to look at some instances where Jesus demonstrated his love for people. And then in March, we'll do something called Feel His Suffering, and we'll walk through the passion of Christ leading up to Easter. So that's where we're going. We're going to spend some time, and really, is there any better place to be than at the foot of Jesus and just listening to what he has to say and observing the things that he did. So that's where we're going, and we're going to begin today in Matthew chapter 13. This is the first of three parables. Just in case you don't know what a parable is, it is a story that involves elements that are usually drawn from human experiences, human activities, human events, things familiar in terms of human practices, through which the Lord sought to bring forth a spiritual truth or insight about the kingdom of God, about things that God wanted us to know, maybe about the heart of God or the character of God or something about having the character of God in us. So they were stories that illustrated spiritual truths, and that is certainly true here in Matthew chapter 13. So let's begin at verse 1, and I'm going to read just down to verse 9 to get us started. Matthew 13, the first 9 verses. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, and still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so the scriptures tell us that Jesus was near the lake, the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Gennesaret, and he's kind of down on the beach area there, and the crowds that so often followed him gather around, but there's so many. He gets in a boat, sits down, and, I'd like to try that some Sunday. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to have you all stand and listen. Would that be okay? Could we do that? Okay. But, they were eager to be there and to listen to what Jesus had to say, and so he's sitting in the boat, and he starts sharing this parable, this story, which had elements that obviously would have been very familiar to the people. The farmer's just gone out scattering seed, and he's just kind of scattering it everywhere he went. And, it's landing here and it's landing there. And then he finishes and says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, put yourself in the crowd that day for just a moment. That's all they heard. Now, we're going to read following where Jesus gives the explanation to his disciples. And thank the Lord we have that explanation, because this crowd didn't get that. So just picture them.
they're standing around and looking at Jesus, and they're listening, and he tells about the farmer sowing the seed. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is done for them. And I cannot help but think that some of the people were going, okay, nice story. They didn't understand it. You know? As I said, thankfully we have an explanation that gives us some insight into what Jesus was trying to say. But just think about that for a minute. You know, here's people hearing this. They're just captivated by this story, and they get no explanation whatsoever. They got to figure it out for themselves. But let's pick it up at verse 10, and we'll listen to what Jesus had to say to explain it. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You will ever be seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Now, let me just stop there for just a second. In Jesus giving the disciples his answer why he tells stories, he makes a reference there to Isaiah and something that Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6. That's the passage where it says, in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the robe of his, the train of his robe filled the temple. And he says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean. And the Lord says, who will go for us? And whom shall I send? And remember the words of Isaiah? Here I am, send me. And then the Lord says to him, go to this people and say, you will ever be hearing but never understanding. You will ever be seeing but never... And so he quotes that particular passage. And Isaiah says, well, how long? I mean, imagine having that kind of commitment, you know, where he says, I'll go, and God says, okay, I want you to go to and tell these people this, but... You know what? They're not going to listen to you is essentially what he's saying. Go to these people and say, you're ever seeing, but you're not perceiving, you know? You hear it, but you're not getting it. And so in those particular days, if you know a little bit of the history of Israel, God was about to send the people of Israel into exile because they stopped listening to God. They might have seen evidence of God's hand in their lives, but they were not perceiving it. They were not recognizing it. Because their hearts had become callous. Their hearts had become desensitized to the movement of God and to the voice of God. And of course, the voice of God was in part through the prophets. He was trying to call them back to come back to the Lord. And they just weren't getting it. They didn't see any need for it. They were not perceiving it at all. And so Jesus kind of lays that foundation. He said, this generation is a fulfillment of that. I'm telling them stories, and it's fulfilling this prophecy. They're hearing me, but they don't get it. They see me, but they don't recognize who I am. So that's why they get it the way they do. But for you, the secrets of the kingdom, I'm going to share those with you. And so the disciples and us, thankfully, get the explanation behind this. And so if we jump down to verse 18, Jesus says to his disciples, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he only lasts a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the word that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the word seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 and 30 times what was sown. And so Jesus kind of uses this story to illustrate the hearing of people. Now, Luke's very clear in his account. The seed is what? The Word of God.
It's the Word of God. So the Word of God is
being sown out there. And so here it is. It's going out in every place, in any place,
wherever the farmer's
scattering, right? It's being sent out there, but it's being received differently
by those who are hearing it.
So there are really four kinds of hearing illustrated in this particular story. Okay, and as we go through these, I want you to be thinking about, this is a hearing checkup for us. Okay, I just want you to be honest, you know, let the Lord speak to your heart and be thinking about how, what the condition is of your listening and your hearing to the voice of the Lord and the things that He tries to communicate to you through His Word and by His Spirit. So the first one, he says, the seed that fell on the hard ground or on the path is when the message is shared and people don't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. I think these are people who are, as we read in Isaiah chapter 6 there in the verses that were quoted above, this is people who are just, quite frankly, spiritually deaf. They just don't hear it. They just can't seem to grasp anything that God is trying to communicate to them. And there are people like that. They're just not interested in listening to what God has to say. The seed that fell on rocky places illustrates what I would call impaired hearing. They're not deaf. It's just impaired hearing. They hear the truths of God. And he says they receive it with joy. So there's this initial, oh, wow, that's kind of interesting. Well, I want to hear more of this. But for whatever reason, he says persecution comes, difficulty comes, some kind of opposition to that particular message. They don't seem to be able to hold on to it. It just hasn't taken root in them such that they would persevere and continue to seek it and continue to listen to it more. And just want to hear more and more of what Jesus has to say. So their hearing is impaired. The seed that fell among thorns illustrates what I would call distracted or redirected hearing. Or we could even call it selective hearing. That's what I did with my wife. I had selective hearing. It's kind of like me in those situations. But the folks in this particular case are hearing a voice that's overriding the voice of the Lord, and it's the voice of the world and what the world has to offer. And so they're tuning in to what it is that the world wants to give them. This is kind of that consumerism mentality that the church, I think, wrestles with a lot today. And we all hear those voices to some degree, but those voices, in the case of, I think, that Jesus is pointing out, those become the loudest voices in their life, and it defines who they are. It defines their attitudes, it defines their pursuits, it defines their desires, and the things that the Lord kind of get choked out. God's voice gets dimmer and dimmer and quieter, and the voice of the world gets louder and louder and louder. And so, you know, it's like me. I should be looking at my wife, and I'm looking at the TV. You know, God wants them to be looking at Him, and they're looking at that and that and that and that and all those things that they want. And so their hearing gets selective. It gets distracted. It gets redirected. So what happens is God's voice just gets drowned out. You know, during our deacons' meeting just the other night, we were talking about a number of things, and it was mentioned about how the ineffectiveness of, I think, many church communities here in Canada and in Western society in general, you know, our efforts to reach the Lord, people with the message of the gospel are impaired or impeded in part because God's people aren't listening to the voice of the Lord as much as they're listening to the voice of the world. I think as God's people, we need to be honest. We get distracted. And the voices of the world get a whole lot louder than the voice of the Lord does. A fellow pastor that I was speaking to not too long ago, he put it basically this way, and he was blunt. He says, the consumerism that has infected the churches has produced spiritual complacency and is killing them. You know what? I fear that he's right, that that's happening in some churches. I think some of it, Blair, is because they're not holding to biblical principles. But I think even in connection with that, it's because they're not listening to the voice of the Lord anymore. They're listening to other voices that are overriding the Lord. And, you know, while having some of the goods of this world, I'm not saying that that in and of itself is sinful, because it's not. God provides things from this world for us to help meet our needs. But we need to be warned of the danger of listening to those voices more than we listen to what God has to say and is trying to communicate to us. Because as Jesus says, when those voices become louder, we become unfruitful in the things of God, because we don't mature. We don't mature in our faith if we're not paying attention to the Lord. But then there are those, Jesus said, the seed that fell on good soil illustrates good hearing. It illustrates the person who hears what God has to say. They get it, and it moves them to conduct their lives in ways that are fitting for the kingdom of heaven. Here in this particular passage, Jesus said in verse 23, the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. Chapter 4, he says, it's the man who hears the word and accepts it. And in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 8, he said, it's the man who hears the word and retains it and perseveres in it. And so this concept is, I'm hearing it and it's staying with me and it's directing the way I do life. I'm tuned in. I'm paying attention. And so there's four kinds of hearing illustrated in this. Now again, the people who were standing there on the beach that day, they didn't get that explanation. They're just kind of left hanging. And whether they ever figured it out, we'll never know. But the disciples got to hear it, and we get to hear. And we get to look at this and say, wow, okay, so which of these kind of hearing are reflective of me? Am I just deaf to the things of God? You know, did they just kind of bounce off me when I hear the scripture spoken? You know, or is it just impaired? You know, yeah, I've heard some of it, but it really doesn't govern my life. Is my hearing over-distracted, so I'm so consumed with worldly things that I'm not hearing what God's trying to say to me? Or do I have good hearing, and I'm getting it, and I'm listening to what God has to say? Now here's the good thing. At least with the second and third type of hearing, the impaired and the distracted, you know what? That can change. That's treatable. You can change that kind of hearing. You know what? Just get back to learning to listen and ask God, say, God, my hearing's been really poor and I want to hear what you have to say. I want ears that hear. You can correct that. And you can start focusing more on the things of the Lord and give attention to his word and let that be the thing that governs how you look at the things that distract us in life. You let that be the voice that dominates over the voices that are trying to crowd out and choke out God. Because when God's voice is the loudest voice we hear, then the greatest chances are there that we're going to mature and that we're going to live fruitful lives that are pleasing to the Lord. Do you remember the figure of speech that Jesus used to describe himself in John's Gospel in the 10th chapter when he said, I am the good shepherd? He said, I am the gate, but I'm also the good shepherd. And of the shepherd and his sheep, Jesus said this in verses 3 to 5. He said, of the shepherd, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And then he adds this, but they will never follow a stranger, a different voice, right? In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Listen, we live in a world where there's a whole slew of strangers' voices trying to get your attention and mine away from the voice of the Lord. It's trying to drown out God's voice. And we have to be intentional about tuning in and learning to listen to what God has to say. We heard the gospel message at some point in our lives. Jesus called us to follow him. We came to an understanding of our sinfulness and our need for a Savior. And we repented of our sin and we surrendered ourselves to Christ and invited him to become Lord of our lives. And so we heard the gospel. We heard what we needed to hear. But that's just the starting point. That's just the foundation of our lives. God is still trying to build his character and his holiness in us. And that hearing is something that has to happen every single day. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live, as our song says. We need to learn to recognize the voice of the Lord. And so which of these soils best describes where we are today in our listening? Let me share one closing illustration with you, and then we're gonna sing our closing song and dismiss for the day. James Hamilton wrote a book called Directions, Insights for Christian Living, and he reflects back on a time when, before we had refrigerators, something we take for granted, and he says how people used to cut ice in the wintertime and they would put them in buildings, you know, either a shed or sometimes it was a business, a larger building, and they would put these blocks of ice down and then cover them with straw, and that ice would stay there for sometimes well into the spring and the summer, and it, of course it served as refrigeration for things that would have otherwise gone bad. And in the context of that, he tells a story about a man who worked in one of these places where he brought in the ice blocks and covered them with the straw, and he had a watch, and he dropped his watch somewhere in that building, and he couldn't find his watch. He went looking for it and moving the straw, and he asked some of his coworkers to help him, and search as they might, they could not find his watch. So while the men went on break, a young boy who just happened to overhear the conversation decided to go into that little shed, that little warehouse, and he closed the door and he laid down and he listened. And he heard tick, tick, tick. And he came out and he handed the guy his watch. He said, "That's amazing. How did you find that?" He said, "I just went in, closed the door, laid down, and listened for the sound of the watch." It's an illustration of the fact that listening to God requires that we tune in and pay attention, because there's a lot of other noise around that will distract us. And we'll start listening, if we're not careful, to voices that do not honor God. And so we need to be quiet sometimes and say, "Wait a minute, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say about this issue. Lord, I want to hear what you have to say about this situation. Lord, how do you want me to handle this? Lord, what are you requiring of me in my heart so that I can honor you?" It takes effort to tune in and hear the voice of the Lord. So my prayer for you is that you will keep working on being good listeners. It's a lifelong process. I still have to work at listening to my wife. Bless her heart. I love her dearly. And there are moments when, quite frankly, I say, this is how it is. I really don't want to listen to her right now. But because I love her, I'm going to do my best to tune in. So I take the remote and I turn the TV off, and that's the first distraction that's out of the way. And then I look her in the eye. Not every time, guys, okay? And by the way, guys, if you, this week, you know, your wife starts talking to you and she stands between you and the television, forgive me. I didn't mean to suggest that to your wives to try that. All right? But you tune out the distractions so that you can hear what the person you love has to say. Do you love the Lord? If you do, you're going to be interested in hearing what he has to say. Let's have the band come up.